It's 8:38 on a Wednesday morning. Last week, we had Northfield's City Administrator Ben Mardigan. We were talking about an environmental assessment worksheet that had been requested of the what's called the Paulson property or the Craywood development. And there's a little bit of haziness in the air on what that is and what it isn't. And we have Diane Angel with us, who is a professor at the St. Olaf College. And you're back from, we had you out about a month ago, but you, I think, deal with this type of stuff a little bit better, a little more often than maybe the rest of us do. So thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. Thanks for inviting me today to help sort of clarify some of this. A couple things I just wanted to check in with before I start talking about that request is that I am part of SHED, and SHED is really excited to be able to announce a collaboration in January. So we're interested in having a sort of symposium, a workshop, on the housing crisis in Northfield and how we address that crisis. And so we're looking to invite a number of attendees and invite some folks to speak and have sort of a workshop format. So that's something we're looking forward to as we address these sort of environment versus development issues.
All right. Will there be certain, I want to say, speakers or lecturers or panelists? Or
that is exactly what we're picturing. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All
and
right.
I teach a class in January that fits right into that. So I expect the students will be involved as well.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll look forward to that. Keep us informed on when and where that will be.
I will. And then the other thing I wanted to say is that I really hope that in the midst of this debate, we celebrate the fact that we have this endangered species in our town. Like, that is just amazing. And it should be something everybody in Northfield is proud of, that we are able to support this species and that it is found in Northfield and is not found lots of other places.
And that species is the rusty-patched bumblebee.
Like, yes. What the heck? It's got a rusty patch on it. And so let's celebrate that first, right? Like, that's sort of the point of this.
All right. Let's talk about first of all, let's talk about the endangerment of the a rusty patch bumblebee. How long has it been endangered? Is it endangered everywhere? What's going on with this habitat? Can you give us a little insight on that?
Yeah, so it is federally endangered, so that means it is endangered nationwide, right? So it's not just a state thing. Federally endangered means it's at risk of extinction nationwide. It has been on the list for several years now, and again, it's our state bee. Its population has dramatically declined. We don't know why, but it hangs on in several locations, and Northfield happens to be one of those locations, so we're a special place.
Now, are there a lot of people out? In Northfield, it's gotten some attention, so I imagine there are more people keeping their eyes open for one now, but, you know, from a statewide perspective or a region-wide perspective, are there people that go out and look for this thing? Do we have kind of an accurate portrayal of what, you know, the population of the rusty patch bumblebee is?
Absolutely. Because we have this thing called Bumblebee Watch, which is sponsored by the Xerxes Society, we have a great sort of citizen science documentation of where they are found. And just like people go out and look for birds, right, we have our birders, and they document what they find where. We have our bumblebee searchers, and they document what they find where. And so there's plenty of people, especially in the last 5 years or so, that have been focusing on this bee and trying to figure out where it is and where it is not, and then why is obviously the challenge.
All right. Crowdsourcing.
Exactly.
Now let's move into the Craywood, I want to say development, the proposed development, the property anyway.
Yes.
Why do we think there's rusty patch bumblebees there? Do you think that they're nesting there? I've looked it up. I've done a little bit of research, just enough to make myself dangerous. But it says grasslands. You know, they go to grasslands and find holes that rodents have dug up and kind of go in there and make their homes there. Do we know that if the Craywood property is part of that? Do we actually know that there's nests there?
Yeah, and the term nest is a little bit vague, so we might want to do some clarification there.
Hive? Would it be a hive?
Hive. So we do know that there's quite a variety of confirmed rusty patch observations right around on about three sides of the property. It's private property, So we are not on the property. We don't have observations from the property. But we are seeking our guidance from the Fish and Wildlife publishes a document that highlights is sort of the consensus of what scientists think that rusty patch bumblebees rely on. And their guidance suggests, so again, this is the federal government, their scientists have outlined the importance of what they call upland mature forests and particular trees that the bees rely on in the spring, basswood trees, as well as the early spring flowering plants. So bumblebee queens emerge from a winter sort of nest early in the spring. And that's a really critical time because it's only the queens that overwinter. And they really need that nectar early. You know how cool our springs can be. And so that's a really critical stage is that early nectar. We have lots of citizens that have native plantings in their yards, and that's great for summer, but it's that spring time that seems to be really critical for the queens. And we know that the Paulson property has quite a carpet of trout lilies, bluebells, wild ginger, a variety of species that the rusty patch bumblebees may use. And then it is also has the habitat that the Fish and Wildlife Service outlines as critical for overwintering queens. And so that's our concern. We don't know where they live. That is a really hard nut to crack. It's hard to find both their summer and their wintering nesting sites.
Now, the group, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but I believe the group has requested the environmental assessment to that. You apply to that on the state level, is that correct?
It goes through the state mm-hmm. Environmental Quality Board.
Okay.
Yep. So, and again, we had let the city know, city staff know that this federally endangered species is around the property. And they were contacted by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife and shared some guidance. So way back in January, that happened. And then more recently, the city councilors and the mayor, the information was shared with other city staff in March. And so it's an issue that we've been trying to highlight for quite a while. And we didn't get a lot of feedback. And so we eventually got to the point where we did the petition. And that petition process goes through the state and then back to the city. And so it's really the developer that needs to pay for the environmental assessment. It is not the city that pays. So it's part of the development process.
Now, the state said that wasn't within the scope of what they would consider to have a automatic environmental assessment tag put on it. So they sent it to the city, and the city's going to have to figure out whether they want one or not. What is the scope? I mean, what do you have to have a certain level? I mean, you mentioned a half dozen or a dozen bumblebee sightings. Do you need to have a certain amount there?
Because it's a federally endangered species, this mm-hmm. isn't just a kind of unusual species. This is a federally listed species, so you bump into federal law quite quickly.
Mm-hmm. Is there any other kind of endangered species?
Yeah, our eagles, right? Our bald eagles mm-hmm. were in that category, and they have recovered, and then we take them out of that category.
But I mean, the federal ones, federal government is the only one that can make the determination that this is a endangered species. Is that correct?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
It's not a state law.
No, it's not a state issue, but the city has very clear language, and the city attorney has highlighted that language, that the city, quote, must complete an assessment when there is potential for or the perception of potential for significant environmental effects. So it's actually a pretty low bar. Even if there's only the perception of possible environmental effects, they are required to complete an environmental assessment. And they guide the assessment, they oversee it, but it is the developer that completes the assessment as part of the process.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are people there that, if you look, that whole town, that whole segment of town has been developed, and it's developed on the same kind of land that they're sitting there right now. The folks who own that have decided not to develop for so many years.
Absolutely.
What makes this one different than, you know, 30 years ago or 40 years ago when they were building, you know, I want to say your house, but yes, people's houses right in that area?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And we have to acknowledge that that side of town was all forest at one point. That forest was completely clear cut. It was farmed or grazed, and then houses were built. What we know is that this property had some trees on it. You can tell from the early aerial photos from the 1930s that it seems to have had a cluster of trees that maybe served as a base for the growth of that forest. And what has happened is we just have so few forests left that even though the core of that, you know, some of it may be, there may be several trees there that are quite old, we don't know, but that served as kind of an island that sort of seems to have spread. So a lot of years have passed since the area was clear cut. And so we have had the regrowth of many trees. And that makes it, you know, fortunately, potential habitat for this species. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Once again, Diane Angel is with us. She is a professor at St. Olaf College, and also here. Are you representing SHED? Is that a fair term to say,
or just represent? You know, I collaborate with SHED, and I am one of the co-chairs because we are really interested in both housing and our environment, right? Okay. So I want to emphasize that this is not a B versus affordable housing. Mm-hmm. We are really believe deeply that we can balance the needs of the bee with the needs of the developer. Right?
All right. Let's talk about the worksheet again, the environmental assessment worksheet. What is that? Is there like a list, a check off
absolutely
for that?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a list. It's sort of, you know, there's several things that you have to do to satisfy that. So it brings a formality to the process that I think we really appreciate. You know, an environmental assessment can mean a lot of different things. It can mean one person peeking in there for, you know, 15 minutes. Or it can be an environmental assessment worksheet. And completing the worksheet just makes it a formal process. It's done by a professional in the field. I'm not a professional environmental assessor, right? Mm-hmm. But there are people that do that, and they should be impartial and neutral. And so having that done really just helps us understand what's on the property, right? It doesn't stop the development. It helps us understand what is on the property so that then you can maybe think about like, well, maybe we want to shift this way or that way. Maybe we do want to have a bit of a green space in there, a forest space in there to preserve the habitat for the bumblebee. We can do both.
Okay.
We can have affordable housing and protect our endangered species. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, and that's one of the questions that I would have for you is to kind of clarify the Northfield SHED's, I guess, stance on this. Are you against all development within that property, or is there a scale down, or maybe just
to
explain
that? From the very
that
beginning, uh-huh, we have reached out. In fact, way back in January, we said, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could have a big conversation amongst city staff to balance the needs of, we understand affordable housing, right? We need that in Northfield. We all experience that and appreciate that. This is not just affordable housing versus the bee. We can do both. We can manage both. And we have sought out those conversations from the very start. And we hope the event in January, even looking forward past this development, is an opportunity for Northfielders to talk about these. How do we finance affordable housing, right? That is challenging. How do we maintain, you know, access, inclusive communities, and access to green spaces, not necessarily mowed parks, but forest patches, because we know those are used heavily when they're convenient to people. Mm-hmm. And we feel like sometimes the West Side has maybe fewer amenities than other parts of town. And so we're really working to think more broadly about what we mean by community.
All right. Once again, Diane Angel, our guest today. We're about out of time. Is there anything else? Have we cleared up everything? I know we had you on here to clarify a lot of maybe perhaps some misconceptions and such, and also explain the environmental assessment process. Anything else you would like to mention while we have you in here?
No, just that I think it's, you know, if not in Northfield, where? Mm-hmm. I ask myself that. You know, we can balance these issues. We can do an environmental assessment. We can come to a great outcome. And this is the place, Northfield is the place to make that happen, right? How can we expect other communities to step up and develop creatively and in interesting ways if Northfield doesn't do that? So it's a great opportunity.
Well, Diane, thank you so much for coming in today. We certainly appreciate it. And
thank you,
we'll keep in touch.
Yeah.
Diane Angel, once again, a professor at St. Olaf College, and talking, I guess, representing the group SHED, Northfield Citizens for, what is that again?
Housing and environment, sustainable housing and environment. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Diane. We're going to break, come back. Rich is in with a look at local news.
It's that time of year again.